Okay? In the name of Jesus, whether you're watching or listening in because you're a regular part here of the North Lima Mennonite Church, or whether you've just come across our website, welcome. We're glad that you have chosen to worship the Lord, and we trust that this service will be a great blessing to you and a great encouragement during these challenging times. I'd like to make several announcements. First of all, our plan is to begin podcasting as soon as possible. Plans are in the works, and we're just waiting for those that are working with our website to complete things there so that we have the capability of uploading video. In fact, this service will be uploaded and available on video as soon as we have that capability. So if you want to have a peek sometime later, and we would invite you to do so by checking the website, looking for a tab that says videos, and then clicking that on and going from there. Also, the bulletin is on the website. It has also been mailed to those individuals that we know do not have internet access, trust that you'll have helpful information from that as well. And then thank you also to those of you that have continued your giving. I know this past week there were folks that gave online. There were folks that sent checks through the mail. And we appreciate that the expenses continue. And so thank you for honoring the Lord and being a blessing in that regard. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do rejoice in you and thank you that you are our Savior, that you are our God, that you continue to love, that you continue to live, and that we can look to you. We find strength, we find encouragement, we find hope. May you speak to our hearts even as we worship in this different fashion. Lord, yes, we miss being able to gather together in one place like this, but yet we join our hearts and our minds as we approach your throne of grace. So touch us, renew us, refresh us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Lest I forget thy thought.
Well, for this time of prayer, I want to remember some of the things that are printed as requests in our bulletin, but also several other requests that I've been made aware of since then. One of them being that Carol McCoy has asked that she be put back on the prayer chain. So we want to continue to remember Carol McCoy. Also, the prayer chain request yesterday that was for Heather Shawless's friend Sally. Sally is in the hospital with the virus and was not doing well at all. And so we want to pray for Sally, but also for Heather, and really also for other individuals that are working on the front lines in medical facilities and in area hospitals and so on. And then also I've been made aware that we think of Susan Woods has a sister, Kathy, married to Carl. Carl and Kathy have a 38-year-old daughter that just died on Friday. So we want to remember that family as well, joining with them. So, with that in mind, let's come to prayer. Lord, these are difficult days, and they're days of trial and suffering for many. And we do come to you in the name of Jesus. We lift before you, first of all, our country and its leaders, and we pray for wisdom and guidance there, and pray that you would continue to be at work, that help could receive those who need it most at this time in various parts of the country as well as locally. And Lord, we do pray for those of our number and others as well who are in nursing or working in the medical field or in hospitals, and ask for your protection and your added measure of grace upon their lives. Lord, we want to remember Carl and Kathy and that church family in light of the death of their daughter. Lord, extend your grace and peace to them and lift them up. We pray for Carol McCoy in her continued needs, and please be with her and strengthen her. We think especially of Sally, of Heather's friend Sally, and ask that you would be gracious to her, that she would be much aware of your abiding presence. And we pray for those that minister to her, and that you would also help Heather and her family during this time. We pray for for Joyce Swope as she continues dealing with her shingles, for Jim Moore as he has the effects yet of the chemo and the radiation, which he has hopefully completed now, but yet it's a difficult time for him. Continue to be with Nancy Smith in her situation with her back pain. And there are others in our congregation undoubtedly that are dealing with a variety of things health-wise, and we pray that you would minister to them as they seek you. And we do pray especially for our shut-ins as well, that during this time that they would feel your presence and your grace and the encouragement of your people. We thank you, Lord, for those that are checking in on folks through phone calls or through a variety of social media, and trust that we will continue to feel that connectedness as your body, as your brothers and sisters. Help us also to be a positive witness during these times, and that the love of Christ and the grace of God might continue to be front and center in our lives. We want to lift before you different individuals now that have had either a loss of income or a reduction in income in our church, and many in our community as well. And we pray that, that you would supply for them, and that you would help them not to lose heart as they perhaps seek unemployment benefits or however that you choose to work out things during this challenging time. Continue to be with Diane's sister Loyal as he continues to seek those that can be of help regarding his heart and his breathing issues. And we do want to remember Rebecca Warwick also, this young girl in ICU in a Pittsburgh hospital, regarding her leukemia that has come upon her. And Lord, we pray that you would be near to her and her family and continue to minister to her situation. I pray that you would be with the leaders here in our church and myself as we seek your mind and make decisions and seek to carry on the ministry of the church during these days. So we thank you for your faithfulness, Lord. We thank you for your presence. We thank you that you are never going to leave us nor forsake us, and that you're with us in all of these things. So we do look to you with thanksgiving and praise, knowing that you indeed are sufficient, even as we pray that you will guard us and protect us and keep us in your care during these days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, before I preach, we want to be blessed with a music video. I just want to share appreciation to Getty Music for making available some of these videos for churches like ours to use with no strings attached here during this COVID-19 season. So this morning we're going to watch and listen to their music video for the cause. I think it's going to fit in very nicely with our Lenten theme and what I'm going to be preaching on. So be blessed for the cause. You know, for just a moment, I wondered whether I should change my preaching focus, given the concerns surrounding COVID-19. But then it struck me that keeping our focus on the Lenten themes that are before us may be the very best thing that you and I could do. And you know what really solidified that for me? I was actually home on Monday and was laying down a bit and had picked up my message paraphrase, was flipping through it, and my words, or my eyes focused on the words in 1 Corinthians 2:2, where Paul said, "I deliberately kept it plain and simple. First Jesus and who he is, then Jesus and what he did. Jesus crucified." And so that did it. That did it. So then, where are we in the journey of Jesus to the cross? Last week, we noted how that the crowd had insisted that a notorious prisoner by the name of Barabbas be released and that Jesus be crucified. Pilate went along with that, which resulted in Jesus being scourged and flogged. And we noted how from Isaiah 53 that Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Our iniquity, was laid on him. That brings us then to the incident that's recorded in Matthew chapter 27, verses 27 to 31. And I've entitled the message simply, King Jesus. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole garrison around him, and they stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. When they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And then they spat on him, and they took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they took the robe off him, put his own clothes on him, and led him away to be crucified. So this morning, the outline is pretty simple. It's just a couple of summary statements, one being that they mocked Jesus. They mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And then the other being that Jesus, he wasn't an earthly king. But we want to make note of the fact that he is a heavenly king. So let's think about the first one. They mocked Jesus, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." Have you ever been mocked or made fun of? Some of you are nodding your heads. Or ridiculed? You know, I'm reminded of some examples from the scriptures where this was taking place among God's people. There was Elisha. At the time, there was difficulty in that the water was bad and the land was barren. And Elisha asked for a bowl to be brought to him, and what he wanted in this bowl was salt. He took the bowl that was brought to him, went to the source of water. He cast the salt in there and said, "Thus says the Lord, I have healed this water, and from it shall be no more death or barrenness." Now, at that point, the water was healed. And then according to 2 Kings 2:23, that's Elisha, went up from there to Bethel. And as he was going up the road, some youths came from the city and mocked him and said to him, "Go up, you bald head. Go up, you bald head." There was also an incident that took place in Nehemiah's day. Things were in a state of distress. The walls of Jerusalem were broken down. It was just a huge mess. The gates were burned with fire. There was rubble everywhere. And God had put it in Nehemiah's heart to engage in a rebuilding process. A monumental project began. Workers were mobilized. Repair was taking place. And then we read this in Nehemiah 4, verse 1. But it happened when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall that he was furious and very indignant, and he mocked the Jews. Jeremiah was another one that went through verbal assaults. The message God had given him was very unpopular in his day. People didn't want to hear what he was saying. And it became very evident. So in Jeremiah chapter 20, verse 1, make that verse 7, Jeremiah said, O Lord, you induced me and I was persuaded, and you are stronger than I and have prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocks me. Now, if you ever were the object of someone's scorn or ridicule or put down, you know how those words can sting, how they can pierce into one's heart, how they can hurt. You know what it feels like. And if you were ever mocked by someone, then perhaps you can identify with Jesus and at the same time realize that Jesus can identify with you because he was in all points tempted or tested as we were. He went through it. Now, what did they do when they mocked Jesus? They stripped him. They put a scarlet robe on him. One of the Gospels says a purple robe, so perhaps it was reddish-purplish, but at any rate, they twisted the crown of thorns and put it on his head. They put a reed in his right hand, and then they bowed down and they mocked him. And they struck him on the head with the reed, and they spat on him. Mockery! Now, before I go any further, I want to place this crown of thorns on the cross. So it's there now, the crown of thorns, as well as the whip, as well as the lamb, as well as the money bag with the coins, as well as the goblet. What took place at the governor's headquarters with the crown of thorns was a total mockery. But for those of us who know the rest of the story, there's an opportunity to crown him in a different way. At this point, the hymn, Crown Him with Many Crowns, seems so fitting. Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Hark how the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake, my soul, and sing of him who died for thee, and hail him as thy matchless king through all eternity. Crown the Lord of love. Behold his hands and side. Rich wounds, yet visible above, in beauty glorified. No angel in the sky can fully bear that sight, but downward bends his wondering eye at mysteries so bright. Crown him the Lord of life, who triumphed over the grave, who rose victorious to the strife for those he came to save. His glories now we sing, who died and rose on high and died eternal life to bring and lives that death may die. Crown him, the Lord of heaven, one with the Father known, one with the Spirit through him given, from yonder glorious throne. To thee be endless praise, for thou for us hast died. Be thou, O Lord, through endless days, adored and magnified. Amen. So they crown Jesus with thorns and mockery. We crown that same Jesus with praise and worship. And that leads me now to the second summary statement. Yes, it's true that Jesus wasn't an earthly king. But at the same time, you and I need to recognize and remember that he is a heavenly king. These soldiers that had mocked Jesus were oblivious to a lot of things. They were oblivious to who Jesus was and to what he was about to do through his death and resurrection. And it makes an incredible difference when the truth hits home. It makes an incredible difference when we recognize that Jesus is actually, yes, he's actually a king. This past week, Trish Edwards shared something, at least with Diane and I. She passed along a story about a doctor in Italy and his team who came to know the Lord. So this was a 30-year-old doctor. He said, "Never, nor in my most worst nightmares have I thought that I would someday experience what I've been through here in our hospital for these 3 weeks. At first, there were several sick, and then dozens, and then hundreds. Up until 2 weeks ago, me and my colleagues were atheists. We thought this was quite normal since we studied medicine, we're scientists, and science excludes the existence of God. I always made fun of my parents when they went to church. 9 days ago, a different patient came to us. A 75-year-old evangelical pastor. He was a very meek man, but with big respiratory problems. He had a Bible with him, and we were impressed that he found the strength to read it to those who were on their deathbeds. Although we doctors were tired and physically and mentally exhausted, we were curious and from time to time listened to his words. We as humans have reached our limits. We realize that where our strength ends, we need God and his intervention. And in the small amount of free time that we have started praying to God. We talk about this among ourselves, and it is hard to believe that from atheist doctors, we have come to find comfort in prayer to God, who helps us endure and care for the sick. Oh, give me a moment here. I do need to wipe my eyes at this point, though. This 38-year-old doctor talked about having gotten a peace that couldn't be found anyplace else. And he talks about having turned to the Lord during these difficult times. Now, reading that story reminded me of folks who listened in, not in a hospital, but in a jail. I had to think about the time that Paul and Silas were in jail, and they were there singing hymns and praying at midnight, and there were folks that were listening in. And then some incredible stuff took place. There was an earthquake. People's chains were loosed. The doors were opened. And all at once, the keeper of the jail woke up to reality, and he said, "Sir, what must I do to be saved?" And the response was, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved." So regardless of what it is that shakes a person's world, whether it's an earthquake in that particular setting, whether it's COVID-19 among the doctors there in Italy, or something else, the answer to the deepest need in a person's life is found in Jesus. And it's this one that went to the cross, this one that was crucified, yes, was dead and buried, but yes, then rose from the dead. It's this one that we turn to. And when we acknowledge Jesus for who he truly is, and then we recognize that he indeed is a king. He is not an earthly king, but he is a heavenly king. And this is brought out in a variety of places in the scriptures, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. So in the Old Testament, we read this, Psalm 24:7-10. Psalm 24:7-10. Lift up your heads, O you gates, and be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, lift up you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. And this was looking ahead. It was looking ahead to the Messiah. It was alluding to what was to come. It was pointing to the role that Jesus would fill. And then in Zechariah chapter 14, it talks about the coming of the day of the Lord. And here is what it says in verses 8 and 9. And in that day it shall be that living waters shall flow from Jerusalem, half of them toward the eastern sea, and both summer and winter it shall occur. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day it shall be, the Lord is one and his name one. Now that passage also has messianic overtones. It makes us think of Jesus. It makes us think of a heavenly king. It makes us think of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the New Testament, we have some references as well. 1 Timothy chapter 1, the Apostle Paul speaks of Jesus having come into the world to save sinners and of having obtained mercy and everlasting life through believing on Jesus. And then the apostle says this in the very next breath, verse 17. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Sometimes, and perhaps I've done this very thing too much as well, we think of it only as a benediction, if you will. A nice benediction. But it really is loaded in regards of what it says about Jesus. And we praise him and honor him because he is indeed, as Paul put it, King eternal. Now, this reality is brought out even more in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 13 to 16. Here the Apostle Paul had just encouraged Timothy to pursue righteousness and godliness and to fight, as he had put it, the good fight of faith and to lay hold on eternal life. And then he says this, I urge you in the sight of God, who gives life to all things, and before Christ Jesus, who witnessed the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this command without spot, blameless, until our Lord Jesus Christ appearing, which he will manifest in his own time, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. The word potentate, what's that? Well, it's a reference to the sovereign one. There is none like the Lord. He is over all. He is above all. As Paul put it, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Now, at this point, some of us may be thinking of something else. We may be thinking, at least I was, in terms of Handel's Messiah and that phenomenal piece, the Hallelujah Chorus. And if you've ever experienced a live production of the Messiah and the Hallelujah Chorus, just thinking about it probably is enough to almost lift us to our feet. Jesus wasn't an earthly king, but he is a heavenly king, and he will continue to be so. Now, for our final scripture, I'm turning to the final book in the Bible, Revelation chapter 1, verses 4 to 7. I'd like you to notice what this says regarding, getting back to basics again, who Jesus is and what he has done. But then also who you and I become in him as we indeed trust Christ as Savior. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings. Or you might think of a kingdom, if you will. Made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so. Amen. Now the time is coming when everybody is going to see Jesus for who he is. Did you notice? Even those who pierced him. Even those who mocked him. Even those who rejected him. Even those who did not trust him as Savior and Lord. Even they will face the King of Kings as judge. And if there was ever an urgent time to get right with the Lord, the time is now. It's during this time of uncertainty and crisis. And if you have not taken that step, do so today. It's a matter of life and death. Don't put it off. Now, for those of us who are right with the Lord, this day is again an opportunity to delight in the one who heard us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. It's an opportunity to once again crown him with many crowns and to again hail him, King Jesus. Let's pray. Gracious God, we want to thank you again for Christ, for him crucified, for what he endured and went through in our behalf. Now, in the quietness of this moment, think about your own life. If you are like that 38-year-old doctor in Italy, and you're recognizing that you've ignored Jesus, Would you turn to him now? Just acknowledge your own sinfulness, your own inability to do anything about that, to be reconciled to God. But realizing that Jesus took your place, shed his blood for you. Would you turn to him, confess your sins, welcome Christ, trust him, turn to him. And for those who are in right relationship with the Lord, would you again reaffirm your faith in Jesus? Hail him as your King. Father, please continue to be at work. Please, by your Spirit, draw people unto yourself. Please, by your Spirit, build us up in the faith. Please, by your Spirit and through your Word, accomplish the things that are needful. We need you. We love you. We praise you. We thank you, Lord God, for what you have done and for who we have become in you. Bless your church. Bless your people. Bless your word. In Christ's name, amen. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.